His great grace, folks. I would not have ever, I never wanted to go to church when I was a young person because I wasn't saved. And then I got saved and I wanted to be around God's people. And I wanted to just fellowship, and then I wanted to be in His Word. And it's all because of His grace, His great grace. I'm so thankful that He saved me. I'd still be lost and maybe and on my way to hell, or maybe in hell already. I don't know, but I'm so grateful that He saved me way back in the day, and now I know Him, and my life is just completely changed. Can you say the same?
Amen.
Amen. And it is. It's because of that great grace. Thank you so much for that tremendous special. Well, I want you to take your Bibles. We'll turn to 2 Timothy. Now, I'm going through the book of 1 Timothy, but if you'll go to 2 Timothy, we are going to look at chapter 3, and we'll be looking through this chapter, and then we'll look a little bit in chapter 4 as well. This message is entitled, How to Stay Above It All. How to Stay Above It All. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. I'll just start by reading that first verse. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now, this is Paul's last letter that he's written. He's writing to Timothy. Obviously, the epistle that is titled 2 Timothy. He's writing to Timothy a second time. In this particular passage, he's writing about what will take place in the last days, and he's talking about the last days of the church age. It's a very sobering picture, and it's happening, really, it's happening before our eyes right now. We are in the last days. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Well, we certainly are. And it can either bring forth some frenzy. That's how we can respond to all of this. We get into a frenzy, or it can allow us to be greatly strengthened and bring some great excitement, because we know that the Lord Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
He's going to be coming in the clouds, and He's going to take His church out of here. We call that the rapture. You don't find that word in the Bible, but we certainly see the accounts of when the Lord is coming, and we call that the rapture, the blessed rapture. The Lord's going to come, the blessed hope. And the Lord Jesus is going to take us out of here. Now, one of the things that we want to be careful, and I've heard it before, is we don't want to be more interested in our disappearing than His appearing, all right? Because we want to be more interested in His appearing rather than us just getting out of this mess. Because we want hope. Now, listen, there's a little bit of a mix in every one of us. What we see and what's been happening here in our country and really around the world, it certainly does bring out some fearfulness, some trepidation. Sometimes we even feel like we're in a state of frenzy somewhat. Well, that's just kind of normal, but we don't want to be there. We want to take a look at all of this and look at it and go, man, praise the Lord. That means You're coming back soon. That means You're coming back, and we have an opportunity in the meanwhile to serve You and to bring honor and glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you just take a look at things that we see. You look at what's happening in our country. God, what a great opportunity that we have to live in this country, the United States of America. It didn't just happen by accident. It happened because God's hand was upon it. And God did some significant, amazing things to set this country up. And this country has been a beacon century. And missionaries have come out of this country for the last couple of centuries and have gone all around the world taking the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise. And millions and millions and millions of people have gotten saved. Praise the Lord for that. And so, as America goes, really the world goes. Not to put ourselves up into some haughty position. No, it's because God put us there. But America, and it's beginning to wane. And it's beginning to go, well, not just beginning. It's been on a track for some time now. And we're going down a slippery slope, which is not good. But it ought to just evoke something inside of us. And he's called us that, no, we're gonna fight this thing to the end. We're going to keep our eyes on the Lord. What it should provoke inside of every one of us. But you take a look at what we see happening. I mean, you know, there are natural disasters that are happening that are not typical. Things that are happening that are, you know, things that happen a little bit later on in the year, the hurricane in Florida, and you took a look at all of the weird things that are going on, the fires in Hawaii. Yeah, there's always been natural disasters, but folks, earthquakes themselves are on the rise. They're on the increase. And you take a look at what's taking place there, and you take a look at the violence that we see, and you take a look at the policies that so many of these liberal cities are putting into place. And no wonder that murders are on the rise, and violence is on the rise. When you want to, when you want to take your police departments and shrink them down, defund the police, how ridiculous that is. I mean, folks, it has come to the place where the inmates are running the asylum anymore. Yeah. It's just craziness what we're looking at, and we're seeing things happening with our economy. None of us likes that. That just kind of puts us in a tougher spot. We see what's happening down at the border. We see wickedness just abounding. We see sexual perversion, which is just, we're supposed to just accept it, right? No. I mean, listen, homosexuality has never been right. It's wicked before God. The Bible says it's unseemly for a man with a man or a woman with a woman. Listen, they need to get saved, amen? Amen. They need to get saved and come to know Christ as Savior. And then this transgenderism, that's just out of the pit of hell. It is just vile and wicked. And then this thing to be thrown at little children, things that are done with little children, surgeries. That is just vile, and it is wicked, and there will be people that will stand before God and pay for that. And none of that is acceptable on any of our parts as believers. And so Paul speaks about things that are going to become real, that are going to become more and more realized as time goes by. And we look at verses 2-4, and it says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." That's why we hear that this is a narcissistic society. You remember Narcissus in Greek mythology. He was the one that just liked to look at his face in a mirror in the reflection of the waters. That's what we've become. We just are, it's kind of rubbed off on us as well. I'm just going to say that, and I am going to throw everybody here under the bus with me. Because all of this stuff does kind of rubs off on us, and we begin to be more about, oh, self, and look at me, and you know what? It just needs to be, he must increase, but I must decrease. It needs to be more about the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is a society that's just fallen in love with itself, and that's what we see. And so it says, men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to passion, truce breakers. Remember when people used to be just a good for them, were set on just a handshake? Yeah, no more. People were just innocent. Fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady. Boy, that is so typical. We've become, and that's really every one of us, but we have become, I know that that so many of you have a love for God, and I know that. We have everything at our disposal, and that's a tough task for us as believers before us. But it says, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. In the last, with all of the things that are described here of what's going to get to a high level, they are going to ramp up as we get to the last days. And that's as believers here, with all of this, is how much it can influence an unsettledness. Fears, apprehensions that it creates inside of effect, and we fail to address these things. They'll begin to affect our relationship. We go about. They'll affect our behavior. They're going to affect our relationships that we have with others. They're going to affect the decisions that we make. And ultimately, they're going to affect the testimony that we have as believers if we allow all of this to affect us and to influence us. And verses 5 through 9, it says this, having a form of godliness. This is part of the last days. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Boy, is that so descriptive of what we see anymore. Ever learning. I don't know if there's ever been a time when people have learned more things than they do now. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. So Paul goes on to say that they will begin to put a premium at a premium on learning. And that's where we're at anymore. I think it was Bob Jones Sr. said that education without salvation is damnation. And so for people to just get a whole lot of knowledge, boy, and you could just find out anything that you want to by just going to old Google. You know, you just Google something and there it is. And I think that has just gotten to the heads of so many people. You got a lot of knowledge at your hands, but there's not any wisdom. And it's not brought you any closer to the truth because it's just puffed up the heads. And folks, it can do that for us as well as believers. We just get caught up in learning. Oh, we know so much. You know, I know that a nanosecond is 1/1,000,000th of a second. Like that. Just that quick. What travels? Light travels 11.5 inches. You think that's all? Just ask me. I can give you a whole bunch of information. I mean, yeah, you know, I'm like, who measured that? 11.62 inches? I mean, we can go and just get ridiculous amounts of information from going online and finding this all out. And so he says people are going to put such a premium on learning. Oh, everybody's got to go to college. Not everyone. How about a trade school, too? I never hear that. I think it's good to learn some trades. Praise the Lord. Listen, men's hearts and lives would just continue to deteriorate. This is what the Apostle Paul is saying. And I'm not going to spend much time on these passages right here. So the Apostle Paul, he saw this ominous potential for bad on his dearly beloved son in the faith, Timothy. Timothy was so dear to him. He was not his actual son, but he was like a son in the faith. And so he was writing these things to him. And then, I make it very, very clear. Listen, it's Paul who wrote these things down, but it's the Spirit of God. This is inspired by God. We know that. But God uses Paul's desire and heart for this young man, Timothy. And so the things that are written are from the Lord. And he uses Paul's temperament and personality to write these things down. But he also uses the desire in the heart that the Apostle Paul has for this young man, Timothy. And so he sees all of these things coming. And he's warning Timothy. And so he exhorts him on what to expect and how to respond to it. Timothy, these things are coming your way, and they're only going to get worse, Timothy, so brace yourself, get a good hold on the things of eternal life, keep your eyes on the Lord, and be a soldier for Christ, and just go, take your marching orders, and go forth in what you're called to do. This is what Paul tells Timothy. And then verse 10, he says this in verses 10 through 12, to further exhort him, he says, Timothy, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. You know the things that I taught you, the things that the Lord showed me that I taught you, my doctrine. And he says, my manner of life. You know, you saw, I'm not perfect, Timothy, you know that. But you saw how God instructed me on how to live among people, my manner of life, my temperament, how I wanted to walk like Christ, how I wanted to people to be able to see the Lord in me. So you know my manner of life. And he says, my purpose and my faith and my long-suffering and my charity and patience and persecutions and afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. So Paul is telling Timothy, listen, and I have no doubt that the Apostle Paul is like, oh, Lord, I don't want to have to write those things. They kind of showcase me. And the Lord says, no, I want Timothy to be reminded of what you went through and your faithfulness. Because Paul was never one to showcase what he had done, but the Lord led him to write these things down about some of the things that he faced, the trials and the persecutions that he faced, and the manner of life that the Lord wanted him to show forth amongst the new converts and the churches. And so Paul wrote these things down as the Spirit of God led him. And then he says in verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So he's challenging this young Timothy to stand strong, in the things of God. Folks, there is so much here for us in 2023. I know that, man, 2023 is going by, and we're already just in the last, 4 months now, September, October, November, December. That's all that we have left. It's just flying by. But for what we have left, this is how we can stand strong in the days that remain, 2023, 2024, and whatever awaits us. And so we're going to take a look at some things that he reminds Timothy about and encouraging him to be able to, how to stay above it all. Timothy, how are you going to stay above all of this? Because all of this can just drag anybody down. And maybe that's where you're at today. Maybe you've just been inundated with all of this, and it's just sapping your spirit, and you just find yourself discouraged with what you see in this life. But the Lord says, I can buoy you up, I can strengthen you, and I can encourage you. And he does that through his word. So let's just have a word of prayer, and we'll look at this particular message here today, how to stay above it all. Father, we thank you today, and we're grateful for the opportunity to come before you. Lord, we ask and pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, we know we're in the last days. We don't know how many more years. We may be here for many more years, but it looks as if you could come today. Just the wickedness that's abounding in this world and in our country, and we are going down a hill or down a road that is not good. Would you help us as believers, as your children, to not lose faith, to not lose that gumption that you want inside of our hearts. Help us to be encouraged, and help us to be exhorted, and help us to live for Christ in these last days. Help us to walk in the Spirit, and help us to be people that show forth the love of Jesus Christ. Would you help us in that way? Help us to be able to stay above it all. It'll only be by your grace. And so we pray that you'd speak to our hearts now. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. So first of all, let's take a look at, well, as he points out, the wickedness around us. The wickedness all around us. And verse 13, he says this, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We just read a description of what things will be like. Now, understand this, that every generation that has lived out its life has always had its challenges, all right? Every generation has always had their challenges. It's never been easy for any generation. From the Garden of Eden, the curse has been in effect all the way to today. But yet, the Bible is very clear that wickedness will ramp itself up in a new level, at new levels in these last days. And that's what he's saying here to Timothy. This thing's going to get to a level that none of us ever imagined. It says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. the whole world lieth in wickedness. John told his the recipients of the letter that he wrote in 1 John, he said, listen, make it certain and know this for certain that the whole world just reclines and just revels in wickedness. They lie in wickedness. And because of that, the devil is mounting a huge assault on all that is good. That's what the devil's all about right now, because you know what? He has just been given a whole lot of open doors. And he's been given a whole lot of open doors just with our leadership and where it's at right now. We're just going down a road. We're just going down some roads we have never gone as a country. And we have leadership that just think that that's the right way to go. No, it's not the right way to go. But that's why we pray. And we pray for men to get saved and for women to get saved. But the devil is looking, and he's got his opportunities right now, and he's looking to tear everything apart that he possibly can. 1 Peter chapter 5, devour. He looks for opportunity. He looks for opportunity with nations, and he's got one right now. Our nation has never been to this point, and now the devil is getting his hands on things that he wasn't able to before. But the devil is also looking for opportunities in your life and in my life as a believer. He can't take us to hell. Praise the Lord for that. If you're saved, he can't do that. But we can open our lives where he can begin to tinker with us, because we're not walking with Christ. And the Bible says he's walking about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And spiritually speaking, he wants to trip you up. He wants to trip myself up. If we'll allow him, we don't want to do that. But just like Goliath before Israel, he's determined to strike fear in the hearts of God's people. And he wants to hold us captive. He knows that fear hath torment. Because that's what it says in 1 John. It cripples the child of God from what he or she are supposed to be. He wants to cripple us and keep us from being what Christ has called us to be. Someone said this, that our fears do not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but only empties today of its strength. And someone else said, a day of worry is more exhausting than a week of work. And it's true. When we go down that road of fear and of trepidation, now we're only to fear God. But when we begin to fear everything that's happening, we just strip ourselves of the energy that God wants to give to us to live for him. It's sad to say, but to a good degree, the devil has been winning the victory over many of the saints. He knows by keeping us fearful, we'll never reach our potential, folks. We'll never reach our potential for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like the two caterpillars who are watching a butterfly. And one said to the other, they'll never get me up in one of those hang gliders. We become paralyzed. We become paralyzed because we don't yield to the Lord Jesus Christ. But it doesn't have to be so. We don't have to go down that road. The Bible says, nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen. Now, after he had listed these things, he shows Timothy how to counter these attacks. Yeah, these attacks certainly are right there, and they are, wickedness is all about us. It's all around us. But now he reminds him of how to counter these attacks. So get a good hold of this, believer, brother and sister in Christ. He reminds him of the Word of God that is available to us. The Word of God we have the Word of God. We have the Word of God, and let's not be neglectful of the Word of God. Let's stay in His Word. He says here in verse 14 of 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 14 he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So Paul is saying to Timothy, you know, continue in the things which you've learned and the things that were confirmed in your life, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, as it says in that passage. He knew Timothy's upbringing. Timothy's upbringing was of a godly grandmother by the name of Lois and a godly mother by the name of Eunice. And they raised him up to believe the words of God. Young Timothy was raised, his father was a Greek, but his mom was a godly Jew, a Jewess, and his grandmother. They loved the Word of God. You think about your upbringing. Were you raised in a Christian home? Were you raised with the Bible around? Praise God if you were. Now, maybe you didn't have everything that you thought you should have had. Be grateful for whatever it is that you had and how God used it in your life and how God used your mom and your dad in your life. And that is what Timothy had. And Paul is reminding him to continue in those things that you learned as a young boy. And then he says in verse 15 and verse 8, that's where he goes with this, and that from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures. Young person, if you've been raised in a Christian home, then be grateful. Be grateful. Don't be critical of it if it wasn't sniffing around the things that come online and things that come, whether you go, you probably don't do much of Facebook as a young person, but, you know, Twitter and all of those things. If you get into all of that, some of the stuff that comes that way is just going to puncture holes in your Christian walk. Boy, it's just going to encourage you to be nitpicky about how you were raised. My parents, they were just so old fogies, and they did this and that, and, I wish I had it better. It's just so have it good. And you need to be reminded of that, because it's where, you look back, and everybody's a victim. And, man, woe is me. I was raised on goat's milk. Or whatever, yeah. I didn't have what my friends had down the neighborhood. Praise God for what you have. And look at all the good things that you have. The Lord's taught me some lessons in life. And some of those lessons are, listen, yeah, I do, okay, but I'm critical. I can always be critical of this or that. And it's not like I never do, okay? I'm learning more and more. Don't go there. Be thankful for all of the other good things. Because you'll find that there's probably 19 good things and maybe one negative. That would be that's 95%. I would take that as a free throw shooter in the NBA, okay? That would 20, even if it's 9 out of 10, and you think, God, there's a lot of good things. Yeah, you know, like I said to the young people last week, praise the Lord that your parents didn't dig a hole in the backyard and bury you. Some have had that fate, you know. And if they tried to, praise the Lord that they weren't very good at it because you're here today, right? Yeah, some of us had some things. You know, like, man, remember when your dad used to just throw you out there in the water and make you go swim? People complain about that. Well, for me, the roughest part was getting out of that gunny sack. That was the hardest part. That was not easy, folks. Listen, we can all be critical of something. You can nitpick. And that's what this generation that we see, not everybody in this generation, we have some great young people in this church. We really do. I mean that. They're not perfect. None of us are perfect. But man, you know, this generation anymore just wants to cherry pick all of the bad things. And they just want to, emphasize all of that. Let's not go there. That's just totally without grace. We're to have grace with one another. We're to give the benefit of the doubt to one another. Amen? And God blesses it when we do that, if we'll just learn to, be thankful for what we have. So I say this to you young people. Yeah, you're not going to have perfect parents. Nobody's ever had perfect parents. But be grateful for what God's given to you. We have some great parents in this church. Thank God for the Bible verses that you've learned we have Awana here. Maybe it's in a master club or a Patch the Pirate or whatever you grew up in. For those of you that were raised in a Christian home, and some of you that got to go to VBSs, some of you that got to go to camps, and some of you that were raised in Sunday school, how many of you would say, yes, I learned some Bible verses way back in the day? Yeah, look at that all around. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord your parents allowed you to go to VBSs and to Sunday school or took you to church. Amen? Praise the Lord. And that's what Paul is telling Timothy, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. And then he says, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. He goes on to say how it was those Holy Scriptures that made thee wise unto salvation. How many here understand that through God's amazing word, through this amazing book and the Holy Spirit's work, that we came to see ourselves as sinners in need of a Savior? It was the Word of God that did its work, wasn't it? The Bible says it's the sword of the Spirit. And the Word of God has gotten into our hearts and revealed some things, and it opened it up, and we came under conviction. And my kids, I can remember a couple of them, they came to us later on Sunday night, and they said, Mom and Dad, please, I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to trust Christ as my Savior. They heard a Sunday school lesson about heaven and hell, and God used it, spoke to their hearts, and God brought them to the Savior. I'm so grateful for that. And I know we've had testimonies here in the church of how God worked in your heart as a young child and brought you under conviction, and you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Christian, do you remember the day you got saved? You remember what a wonderful day that was? When the Lord brought you to Christ, what a great thing. And then he says here in verses 16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Let's understand that God has given to us a perfect book for doctrine. So we can read about the virgin birth or the blood atonement or salvation by grace through faith, the inerrancy of the Scriptures. So he says, for doctrine and for reproof and correction, God shows us clearly. God doesn't mince words, but he shows us when we're on a wrong path if we get into his word. I'm so grateful that he does. I'm so grateful that God uses preaching. How many times have we just been opened up by preaching? We need to hear preaching. It's something that's good. The Bible says, despise not prophesyings. Yes, we're to teach and we're to preach. That's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did. I think more and more people just want to lean more toward teaching. We need the preaching of the Word as well. And that preaching of the Word sometimes is like, whoa, this is just hitting me like a tsunami. Well, how do I deal with it? That's good, because God will just open you up. And as God's revealing things to us and just pulling back layer after layer, Lord, thank you. You've revealed some things, and I want to get my heart right. Sometimes that's how we get our hearts right, just do the preaching of the Word. Praise the Lord for that. May we just simply be yielded to that God can do what he wants to do in our lives. And then for instruction in righteousness, that we would understand how we would live righteously and godly in this present world. And God gives that all to us, that we may be complete, that we may be perfect and complete, not sinlessly perfect, but that we may be thorough and complete and developed in our Christian walk, that God wants us to have every tool in the toolbox. He's given every tool to us. So for every need, every situation, every challenge, and every crisis, we have this precious resource at our disposal. Boy, let's make much of it. Amen? Let's make sure that we're in it. Let's make sure that we embrace it. The Bible says in Psalm 119 and verse 97, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Psalm 34 and verse 8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. So let's make sure that we read this word. Let's make sure that we study it. Let's make sure that we obey it. And then let's make sure that we love it with all of our hearts. Folks, it will comfort, it will strengthen, it will chide, it will reveal, it will expose, and it will just quicken us. It will just bring us to life if we just let the Word of God do what God has designed it to do. C.T. Studd, who was a great missionary, said this, his blessed word hallows. That means it just inspires me, it hallows me on more and more, and makes me burn to dare and to do for him. His word just lights a fire inside of me. It helps us to overcome fear, folks. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. When we operate in fear, we're operating out of the old nature. And we don't want to go there. because God has not given us that spirit of fear. Someone once said, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. Psalm 119, I love these verses. Psalm 119, I'll just read a couple of them to you in Psalm 119 and verse 9. These are just great verses. Great verses for young people. Verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Verse 11, thy word have I hidden mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Hide God's word in your heart, and it'll be there, and it'll be a tool for you. Verse 15 and 16 says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Boy, let the word of God be close. Hold it. Hold it tight. Memorize it. Meditate upon it. Paul now goes on to say to his young fellow laborer in Christ to be strong in him because of the warfare about us, because of the warfare that's all about us. All these things that the devil throws our way are meant for one thing, because the devil loves to try to trip us up. It's to get us off track. It is to trip us up. It's to get us to lose our resolve, so that we no more have that determination to do the things that God once called us to do. So he wants us to lose our resolve. The devil's trying to blur our focus, to discourage, to disrupt. He's trying to detain you and I, and ultimately to destroy if he possibly can. He's trying to wear us out, for he knows that his time is short. He knows his time is short, and so he's doing a lot of overtime, folks, and he's trying to trip us up and detain us and to derail us. Listen, he has certainly got Americans off on a path, and we as believers, I think, have followed right along. And I say this, that he's done it in a number of ways, but I think of three main things. He's done it with entertainment. Yeah, that was kind of cold and chilly response. I didn't get anything there. With entertainment, because we all like to be entertained. And listen, okay, and I'll get into my response after this, but also that entertainment, sports, and politics. And there's some other things as well. But the devil has used that. I mean, he's gotten Americans that are lost often to all of those things, okay? I understand that. But listen, he is trying to get us as believers to get involved in a lot of those things to the level that we should. Now, listen, I'll say this about politics. I believe God's people need to be involved in politics. And I'm grateful for those who know the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm grateful for some godly people who stand for what's right. They stand for the life of those little babies in the womb. I'm so grateful that we have people in key positions, whether in the Senate or the House of Representatives or wherever, on state levels and government positions as mayors or wherever they might be, or judges. Praise the Lord for that. We need to have that. And I'm always thankful when I see somebody stand out for Christ in the in the area of sports, that stand out and say, I'm not going to kneel. I'm not going to kneel down when we're saluting our flag. That's Old Glory. I'm going to stand. And I'm going to honor our flag. I'll kneel for my Savior, but I'm not going to kneel like the rest of these bozos. I'm going to stand for what's right. Man, I salute those ladies and men that do that. And those that are in the entertainment field, well, there's not very many, but there are those that stand up for the right things. And folks, listen, that's where we've got to be careful, because, listen, we can find ourselves as Americans, we can be caught up in too much of that. We can be caught up in maybe too much entertainment. Listen, a lot of that may be good. I think to a good part, a lot of that is good. And so that's fine. But sometimes we just immerse ourselves in those things. I don't care if I get myself in trouble, but listen, sometimes we just ride on too much entertainment. Man, we're either, fixated on our phones and something that's entertaining us, or we're all watching a TV, or we're off doing something, just being entertained all the time. Listen, I understand a lost person just wants to be entertained because they don't want to look at some of the things that are happening. And then, but there's also, you know, listen, politics, that can just drive us, it can just drive us down a road where we just get caught up in and we're just watching news all the time. What's happening here or there? Well, listen, it's good to be informed, but sometimes we're just watching Fox News or some other conservative news, whatever you're watching, maybe it's just a little too much. Amen? That's kind of quiet, so I can kind of know, I'm looking around, okay, I know who's watching a lot of Fox now. Hey, but sports, oh man, I might hit on some, you know, I might start stepping on some toes here, but maybe there's a little too much sports going on. Because listen, it's not a bad thing. And you're talking about a sports guy. I love sports. Man, you know, if there's a cricket and a beetle walking along, I'm cheering one on. Come on, Mr. Beetle. Come on. Come on, Mr. Beetle. Come on. Oh, the cricket's on you. Come on, Mr. Beetle. Yes, Mr. Beetle. Great job. Oh, sorry, Mr. Beetle. Listen, I'm competitive. I am. And I'll play any sport. I don't do it so well anymore. I don't know that I ever did. But, you know, listen, we can get caught up in too much sports. And like I said, man, you turn on ESPN and they're coming up, man, they're getting desperate. I mean, cornhole, you know, it's like they're showing cornhole now and axe throwing. And I'm probably going to go, if I go pro on one, I'll probably kill myself on one of those axes. But listen, we can just go so far. And I'll just say this, sometimes with your kids, man, sometimes it's one sport after another, okay, now, yeah, okay, now you've left preaching, preacher, and now you're meddling. Just going to say this, just maybe look to the Lord and say, Lord, would you give us some balance here? Because, man, sometimes parents are just being driven crazy because trying to follow their kids in every sport. Okay, all I'm saying is just look to the Lord and see what he would have you to do. And just make the right decision because we can get caught up in things as well. So may we just look unto him for that. Now, Timothy was called to preach, and not all of us are. Certainly, but the goal is still the same, and that is to be faithful to take the word of God to sinners so that they can be saved. Amen. To fulfill the Great Commission. And that is why God, through Paul, he exhorts Timothy to us in chapter 4. In verse 1, he says, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like, I charge thee is like yelling in a text, all those big bold letters. Before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says there in verse, at the end of that verse, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom? And he says, preach the word, Timothy. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Be faithful when you feel like it and be faithful when you don't. But just keep preaching the word. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Just stay faithful at it, Timothy. Just stay faithful. And then he says in verses 3 and 4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So he's laying it out clearly. Listen, there's going to be people that will just get away. And he says, in like manner, let us zero in on what God has called us to do. God has called us to be faithful. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That's Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. And verse 5 here in this chapter says, but watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions, Timothy. Just work your way through them. It's going to be tough. And you're going to have a lot of bumps in the road. But just keep your eyes on the Lord. And endure those afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Let me just say this. There are going to be things, and there probably already have, that you and I are going to have to go through that we just go, I can't do this. There's no way I can do this. That's why we look to the Lord, and with God all things are possible. And God can help you and I, whatever it is that we may face down the road, or something that you're already facing right now, you're in the midst of, God can help you to get through it. And when Paul tells Timothy, endure afflictions, Timothy, endure them. Not in your own strength, mind you, because you can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. And so look unto the Lord, and he'll help you to endure those afflictions. But put on a mindset, Timothy, that you're not going to quit, that you're going to get all the way to the end. Won't it be good one day if we hear from the Lord, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. Won't that be good? Sure, that would be wonderful. That's what we all strive. We want to hear that. Be faithful to your calling, he says to Timothy, to preach, to reach people with the gospel. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 26 says, "For the Lord shall be thy confidence." For the Lord shall be thy confidence. Let us be confident in the Lord. A kindergarten teacher was observing her classroom of children while they were drawing. And she walked around to see each child's work. And as she got to one little girl who was working diligently, she asked what the drawing was. And the girl replied, "I'm drawing God." And the teacher paused and said, "But no one knows what God looks like." And without even missing a beat, the girl said, "They will in a minute." That's confidence. That's confidence. It's the same kind of confidence that David had before Goliath when he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is this guy? And why isn't anybody defying him? Why isn't anybody contesting him? Why isn't anybody opposing him?" Because David was not fearful at all. He said, "No, I've got some confidence. My confidence is in him. My confidence is in the Lord." And then verses 6 and 7, as we finish up here, it says this: "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." So Paul speaks about finishing his course, but in course, he's sending a charge to Timothy on how to finish his course out before us. And it can be overwhelming and sometimes unbearable. And I'm not somebody who's fatalistic, and I'm not somebody who's really negative. That's just not a big part of me. Sure, it's a little part of me, but no, I'm an optimistic person, but I am a realist. And I look at how things are going, and really, for the most part, things are not going to get any better. That doesn't mean I don't believe God can do some great works, because God's as great and as powerful as he's ever been. And I really believe God can bring revival in places. But, you know, we read about what the Bible says here and how it's all going to go downhill. And so in the end, it is going to just all go downhill. And God's going to take us out at some point. But in the meanwhile, I would just love it if here in Hayden and in Coeur d'Alene and in Post Falls and in Rathdrum and all around us that we can make an impact. That people can come to know Christ, that families will come to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, and a difference can be made. Amen? Amen. We have God on our side, His presence within, the availability of His power, the power of His Word. That's how we're going to stay above it all. It's just to stay, keep our eyes around Him. With all of this wickedness around us, we have the Word of God available to us. And folks, let us be a soldier with the warfare that's ahead of us. And God will bless, and God will use it. I'm going to have you bow your heads at this point. And in just a moment, we'll have that hymn of invitation. But maybe you're here today, and I'll just ask you, if you know Christ as your Savior, God's spoken to your heart about staying above it all. Maybe you're saying, "Man, I have felt like I'm going under, and the Lord's bringing me up, but I keep going under." Maybe you just need to turn things over to the Lord completely. And let Him do His work in you. Maybe it's about getting into His Word and let His Word minister to you and speak to you as a believer. And so in just a moment, we'll sing a hymn of invitation and maybe you can respond. I hope you'll respond if God's speaking to your heart and come to the altar and just bring it before the Lord. Or maybe you're here today without Christ as your Savior. You don't know for sure if you died that you'd go to heaven, but you can know that. You can know that you're on your way to heaven. And I would encourage you to step out in the aisle and come up to the front. We'll show you how you can be saved and know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Father, we pray you'll help us. Lord, we thank you for the challenges that we have before us. Lord, it encourages us to walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, help us to live above all of this. We don't have to get caught up into it. Your word says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Help us to understand and to know that with you, we're in the majority. We're above all of these things, and we have the victory. But we have to take those steps toward it. Help us to be in your word. Help us to understand that we're a soldier for Christ. Help us to understand that, yes, there's wickedness all about us, but we don't have to be overcome by it. Lord, we pray that you'll give us the victory that we need, that we can glorify Jesus Christ more importantly than anything. And then we know that we'll be blessed as a result of it. But we pray that you'd help us. Help us today with decisions that need to be made. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand with a hymn book.